One more thought on the power of art this hour. Mugshots and aerial photos of men in orange jumpsuits. Frustrated accounts of defense lawyers stymied by mysterious military tribunal rules. Tense, terse public statements of prosecutors, reporters with limited access. Those are our paltry streams of information about the system of justice at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. But there is another source of information, and it comes from an artist. Since 2006, the Associated Press has sent sketch artist Janet Hamlin to Gitmo to document the proceedings of the military tribunals. It's the only visual documentation of all of the Guantanamo Bay tribunals, and a book of her work called Sketching Guantanamo comes out next month. Janet, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
What a crazy assignment. How did you react when you were told?
With some trepidation.
Yeah.
Understandably, but my father was military, so when we landed there, it was somewhat familiar, oddly enough.
And a fascinating glimpse into something that almost everyone who follows the news is curious about, right?
That's right.
And when you go to a typical trial where sketch artists are in demand, what is your mission, and how is it different at Gitmo, do you think?
Well, generally in the mainland or in a typical court, we are sitting, the sketch artists sit towards the front or in the jury box, fairly close proximity to the detainee or the accused. Whereas in Guantanamo, since the second courtroom was built specifically for high-value detainee trials, we are separated by soundproof glass in the back of the room from, you know, a fair distance from the view. So I sit back with all the media and other members who are observing.
Do you use opera glasses and tell them to adjust the lights when it's too dim in there?
I wish.
Really?
There was actually a 3-year period where I could bring some magnifying glasses, but actually just this last June, they told me I could no longer use those.
Why do you think they tolerate this, and what do you feel are your limits? I mean, a lot of the reporters that we talk to on this program, we talk about what they can do, say, not say, bring, not bring to Gitmo, have very clear understanding about that, or if they learn, you know,
right,
when they're down there. What is your sense of the limits of what you can do as a sketch artist?
I will hasten to add that I do have access where I draw the faces from monitors. You know, that's how I can get facial views, but
sure,
that's from a separate room. And the limits are, audio is a 40-second delay. So I'm constantly having to look up to see what I'm sketching, and I'm not hearing what's going on for 40 seconds. So, you know, there's that. There's also the fact that I have to have all my sketches signed off before they go out to media or to the world. By a security officer who is the same person that sits to the right of the judge in the courtroom and white noises any kind of, you know, testimony or whatever's going on in court.
The censor.
Yes, yes.
Do you have, do you have any kind of connection with this person? I mean, a relationship? I mean, not in a relationship sense, but just is he likely to say, oh, that's a good one, or I love what you did with the green here?
Yeah, he actually does
really?
Do that. He gives me some artistic feedback, but in general, you know, we have an understanding that he needs to hurry over as soon as there's a break to review and sign off on the work so that it can then be moved out to media. But occasionally there'll be a delay, and I've had to hold up and wait for him because nothing can move without that.
What about the defendants? Do they have a sense of your work and how you're doing with their faces?
Well, they do. There was the infamous incident in 2008 where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed looked at the sketch I had done of his face, disliked it, and they held it on premises until I was able to go back, get some reference, and actually fix the nose on that. And there was another time with another detainee where he didn't want the sketches to go out at all, and I had to sit in court and make phone calls because I didn't want to leave. And it took 4 hours, but we were able to then move the drawings.
What are you capturing? I mean, because I look at a lot of your sketches, and it seems like, you know, obviously you're documenting something, you're doing something very straightforward, but you're catching a character. It seems like you're trying to grab a moment, maybe even steal a moment with your artistic eye.
That's correct.
Really?
And that's what I'm constantly trying to see, if there's some kind of body language or gesture or something that's going to bring that story home, what's happening in the courtroom. And I'm trying to do it in a way that's not necessarily putting my opinions out there, but just really capturing visually for the rest of the world, because it is a fair responsibility to be the only visual source. So I'm trying to approach it as a journalist might.
Give me a sense of the characters. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, happy character, powerful character, angry character, some of the others.
You know, all of those would actually apply to him. He comes in and he seems to have a certain amount of control. The other four accused that are in the courtroom with him, they're all five being tried at the same time. They constantly look to him for direction. As time marches on, visually, he's gotten more and more, he's gotten the right to wear this camo jacket. He's dyeing his beard a more and more vibrant.
Which makes your job more interesting.
Yes. It gives me something very visually, you know, to grab and draw. They're bringing their prayer rugs in. I mean, he's constantly combing his beard and gesturing to his defense, and they're huddling in between, you know, during breaks and whatnot. He's a very involved and very vocal person.
Do you think any of the defendants, or maybe this is actually even happened, have any of the defendants asked for one of the originals?
They have not, although the defense has told me that they like to look and see what's going on, and they've asked for prints of the work that they then show the detainees.
Well, I have so many questions to ask you. We have to go, but how long will you do this?
Well, I hope to follow it through until the 9/11 trial happens, hopefully. I mean, that's my goal.
Well, if you want to spend some time at Gitmo, you can take a look at Janet Hamlin's new book, Sketching Guantanamo, which comes out next month. Janet Hamlin is a sketch artist, the sketch artist at the Guantanamo Tribunals. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
We talked earlier this hour about what makes a good airport experience with artists in mind. Based on your responses, Portland and Austin airports are topping the list for best. What's your favorite?
This is Jane Byring from Morris Plains, New Jersey. I love flying into Denver above the bright white tent-like structures that mimic the Rocky Mountains. The artistic wonders continue inside, including panoramic photographs, sculptures, mosaics, and more.
Denver is beautiful. Raleigh-Durham Airport, says Jennifer Atkins. Not too big, not too small. Proud Texan. Austin, Texas is pretty great. All vendors from local restaurants and a music venue, maybe more than one. Tell us your favorite airport and why. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.